WBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
So the Bible says that, and his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Why did they go to Christ? They went to Christ because guess what? They were afraid. I told you, fear causes you to do what? Act out of character. Fear paralyzes you. Come on. Fear causes you to... All right. In the garden, fear caused Adam and Eve to waste their time making aprons. Sometimes fear causes folks to waste their time. It caused them to hide from God. Oh, glory to God. It caused Adam to talk crazy, to accuse his wife when he was the one that was in charge. Okay. He ain't say nothing about the serpent. He just said, my wife gave me this fruit. Okay. Fear will cause you to act out of character. So they were afraid. And they went and they woke Jesus up. Then the Bible says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea. And there was a great calm. He arose. Let me say this here. The Bible says one of us can make what? 1,000 feet. Two of us can make 10,000 feet. Sometimes we're not always running to Christ first. I see that a lot of times we run to people first. Then we might add Christ on that list once we ran to about four or five people and shared our problem with the four or five people. But you as a child of God have the ability to chase 1,000. Don't even come to me until you've chased your 1,000. Stop looking to man. Chase your 1,000. Come on. Come on. If you're going to get with somebody, you have the ability to chase 10,000. As a matter of fact, and I want to hit something before I bring it in, but let me say this here. Okay, all right. The sudden fear, and I said this is fear does what? Cause you to act out of character? The sudden fear caused them to accuse Jesus of not caring. Oh. How many of you all have accused Jesus of not caring? Okay, all right. You might not have done it out loud, but maybe on the inside, because we have a tendency to talk about stuff on the inside that we don't share on the outside, knowing that God can hear your thoughts. The Bible says he's able to do abundantly beyond what you ask or think. Come on, whether you knew it or not, he knows your thought. He's an all-knowing God. So yes, he heard you when you were talking that trash on the inside. Okay, all right. When you were selling out on the inside, when you were mad at him. Come on, somebody. Woo. heard you. Look at your neighbor and say, he heard you. And so they were accusing Christ of not caring. They were accusing Christ of not caring because of what? Because of fear. Okay, that cannot have cared. Because of fear. Oh, glory to God. Somebody say, I denounce fear. I denounce your reign and rule from over my life. In Jesus' name. I want to, now, I'm wrapping it up. I'm going to bring it on in. But I want to say something about Nehemiah right quick. Nehemiah was a leader. Come on. And Nehemiah took on a task of going back to Jerusalem, or going back to Israel and building a wall. Oh, glory to God. And he had to do it afraid. He had to battle fear. And sometimes we, even as leaders, we got to, because guess what? We know that God will challenge you to do things that you've never done before. Okay, all right. And so here's one day in Nehemiah chapter 2. Here's one day Nehemiah standing before the king, and he's serving the king drink, and all of a sudden he must have forgot he was at work, and you had to be careful around this king. This king was a world conqueror. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Most powerful nation on the face of the planet. And, you know, back then, you know, sometimes they would try to take kings out. And this is why they would have someone to test the drink to see if it was all right. But Nehemiah was looking kind of down and out. And all of a sudden, the king began to question him. And, man, the Bible says he became what? Afraid. Somebody say sudden fear. He thought he was going to die. Oh, glory to God. You cannot come in before the king any type of way. Oh, glory to God. And then he began to tell the king, I'm bothered by the fact that, guess what, my home, the place that I was raised, is jacked up. And so he petitioned the king, and the king says, you know what, go back and let you build this wall. And so we go to verse 4, chapter 4, and verse 1, and the Bible says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we build a wall, and I'm just going to let you know, that, you know, people begin to rise up and oppose what he was doing. Said that they begin to build a wall, and he was wroth. He was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And the Bible says, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria. So he had an army with him. Dropping down to verse 3. Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So they were mocking them. Come on, they were opposing them. Verse 7, drop down to verse 7, because I want to make a point here. Just stick with me one moment. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, come on, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. And the Bible says, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayers. Tell somebody now, when you become afraid, you got to pray. Don't just sit there and walk around in fear, but you got to pray. You got to speak the word. Come on, you got to decree and declare. Oh, glory to God, some things. And so you have to pray. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Let's see. Verse 14. Drop down to verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Tell somebody, stop fearing. Stop fearing. You know, it's amazing because when you read your Bible and you look in the Bible, you'll always see the Lord. You'll always see there's times when the Lord would say, or an angel would say, fear not. Fear not. Because it's one of the first things that likes to stick his head up. Come on. Even in the garden. Come on. Right there in chapter 3, you know, boom. Fear sticks his head up. Amen. So the enemy is going to stick his head up. It's not that things aren't going to come. God just don't want you to fear. Really, God wants you to be more like Esther. Come on.
How many remember Esther when the people of Israel were faced with annihilation? Here they were. They were about to be annihilated. Come on. Esther, you couldn't go in before the king unless you were called. But the Bible says that Esther got dressed up in what? In her queen robe. Oh, glory to God. And went in before the king. Now, let me show you something. The Bible says that God has given us what? A garment called what? Praise. A garment called praise. Come on. She went in as a praise. Oh, glory to God. She went in, first off, knowing who she was, and she wasn't, she didn't go in before the king, all panicky about them getting ready to die. Man, she went in knowing who she was. Come on. I'm your bride. I'm your wife. Okay, can I tell you something? You're God's bride. You're his wife. Come on. Oh, all right. All right. I don't know about you, but guess what? I'm not going to tolerate too many people messing with my what? Wife. I'm not going to tolerate people talking about my... Now, I can talk about them, but I ain't going to let you talk about... Oh, sorry, baby. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. I thought you were still in the back. You know, I thought you were still in the back. Yeah, that's it, you know. But guess what? We're not going to tolerate... It's a poor man that'll sit around and let someone continue to criticize his spouse. Okay, all right. All right. Chapter 6. Verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and the Arabians and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built a wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat, Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plains of Ono. But they sought to do me mischief. In other words, they sought to kill him. They were trying to kill him. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Here he's a leader, because I'm showing you this here. He's a leader. Come on. And they're trying to kill him. Oh, glory to God. Like, because sometimes we think, okay, some of us are leading on our jobs, you're leading in your home. Don't think that, guess what, the enemy's trying to take you out. But you got somebody on your side. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But let me show you something. Look at the progress that he was making. Come on. He got back to Jerusalem, and he began to build the wall, and he didn't let the enemy slow him up. Now, I'm going to read four more verses, and we're done. Afterwards, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come and slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come and slay thee. So here he is. He's telling Nehemiah to hide because they're going to kill you. Oh, glory to God. Verse 11. And I said, should such a man as I flee? Shall I run? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, come on, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. So in other words, here this false prophet comes in, and he's hired, come on, he's trying to get the man of God to fear. Come on, oh glory to God. See, you got, there are sometimes we as people of God, we'll run into people of God that'll try to get us to walk in fear. You know, was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me? My God, think upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and the prophetess Nodiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So he had people trying to put him in fear. The whole point I want to make is that, guess what? Don't let nobody put you in fear. Oh, glory to God. My wife knows, you know, she knows that, guess what? You know, and sometimes I be like, nah, I ain't receiving, you know, she knows me. I ain't receiving that. Oh, glory to God. Why? Because I'm careful. I do my best not to let people put me in fear. Cause me to walk in fear. Am I saying that I don't battle fear? No, I'm not saying that. That's Al bringing this up. For Job. Job said, the thing that I feared the most has come upon me. Come on. Because let me show you something. Job was sacrificing. He was praying. But sometimes, okay, here we go. Watch this now. Sometimes we're doing things in fear. It'd be better for you to praise God and to spend time worshiping God than to pray in fear. Okay. Fear brings torment. This is why when you look at Esther, she didn't go in all fearful. As a matter of fact, the king said, "What's your petition?" And Esther said, "I just want to throw you a party." She found out what the king loved to do. Come on. And she did it. She found out the king loved the party. That was her husband. He loved the party. She said, "I'm going to throw you a party." And she threw him two parties before she made her petition known. And there are some times that we got to be careful. And I try to practice this. Not to pray in fear. It's better just to have a worship party. Come on. Before you operate or come to God in fear. Because when you come to God, you got to treat God like, "I know you in charge. I know you got this." This ain't going to be no problem. As a matter of fact, I know you got this so good that I'm going to put off a couple of days of even making my petition known, because I know you got this. She wasn't full of anxiety. She wasn't full of dread. She wasn't pulling her hair out. She wasn't panicking. She was treating her husband, the king, like he was the king and he was all powerful. Which at that time, as an earthly king, he was all powerful. And it is a great picture of how we ought to treat God, come on, when sudden fear comes. All hands raised towards heaven. Sometimes we need to repent of things, even fear. You know, I think of Gideon. God was calling Gideon. There were some things that Gideon was afraid to do, but Gideon eventually, he did it, and he did it afraid. God told him to tear down some groves and create an altar. The Bible says he waited and did it in the middle of the night, but at least he did it. He was afraid of the men. He was afraid of people. Somebody say, "Lord, forgive us for being afraid of man." The Bible says don't be afraid of the ones that can kill the body, but be afraid of the one that can kill both the soul and the body, cast them in hell. I believe it goes something like that. Just repeat after me. "Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. Forgive me of fear, dread, anxiety, worry." You know, sometimes you'll think that it's one thing. You'll think that you're fighting one thing, because sometimes when you're dealing with spirits, they manifest. And you'll say, "Oh, you're fighting heaviness and you're fighting oppression." But it could be that you're fighting fear. And I believe that's one of the reasons why the Lord has me dealing with this topic. Failure to thrive. Sometimes we're afraid, oh glory to God, of success. You have Christian people that are afraid of success. Come on. As a matter of fact, they open their mouths and say something crazy like, "I don't want wealth. I don't want money." Come on. Why? Are you afraid of success? You don't want God to make you successful because you're afraid? Oh, glory to God. God knows how much you can handle. You just keep your mouth shut just in case he wants to do something special and awesome in your life. If he don't do it, fine. But if he do it, hey, embrace it. Father, forgive us. Come on, forgive me. Come on, forgive me for fear, dread, anxiety, stressing over nothing, walking in fear. Come on, repeat it. Praying in fear, living in fear. Oh, glory to God. In the mighty name of Jesus, fear to take a promotion, fear of being alone. Come on. Oh, glory to God. I remember one day I was at work and there was a snake in the building, and I said, there's a snake in the building. Nobody said nothing. I turned the corner, the whole place was cleared out. The whole place was cleared out. Wait a moment. I didn't run out of there once I discovered that a snake, because guess what? I knew that I could take something and smash it, throw a box or something on it. But I'm like, here we are. We're afraid of a lizard or a roach or a spider that don't even weigh an ounce. And we would break down a wall. We would run through a wall when we see a little critter on the ground. I pulled up one day at a store, and there was a lady had a frog in her car, and she was, sir, please help me to get this frog. You know, paralyzed. You all outside the car. Come on, probably late for work. Come on, you got a frog in your car. This frog dominating you. He laughing at you. Ribbit, ha, ha, ha. Ribbit, ha, ha, ha. What? What? Come on now. Fear. That's supposed to be fearing you, and you're fearing it. Let me say this here. I respect the snake because I don't want to get bit. But I know that, guess what? I have the ability to dominate or to kill that snake. Come on. And so guess what? When the show was all over, when he was dead and on his belly outside. Come on, people. The enemy got us. We don't even recognize when we're afraid of critters. Lord, forgive us. Come on. Forgive us for being afraid. I hate to have to pray this. Forgive us for being afraid of roaches. Come on. Say it. Come on. Say it. Come on. Some stuff you ain't going to get past till you learn to repent. The Bible says to repent. Come on. Sometimes we got to help God's people. Spiders. Come on. You know you're afraid of all that stuff. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Next time you face your fear. Next time that lizard crawl near you, you face your fear. Step on it. Well, my grandson used to run in the house. Ooh, there's a lizard on the porch. I say, kill it. Come on, I grab him by the arm and take him out there and kill it. Why? Because I didn't want him to walk up or to grow up being afraid of something that's supposed to be afraid of him. In the third world countries, they don't run from rats. They eat them. If a rat was to crawl up in here, the devil is a liar. I ain't even gonna say it. Loose here, devil, in Jesus' name. I ain't saying it at all. I wanna say it. But I'll say it this way. Before this message, some of y'all would have tore the door down. You would have been hollering, standing up in God's chairs. Come on. Stepping all in God's chairs. And everybody laughs because you know it's true. Come on. My God, I remember years ago, me and my wife got married. Come on. And my God, a snake had done got in the house, and she just shot past me, didn't say nothing. She's like, you on your own, buddy. She was out of there. I'm like, what the world wrong with her? You know, she abandoned me over a snake. So God, forgive us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And help us. And we thank you for doing it. Praise God and amen. Now sometimes, let me show you something. Sometimes we don't need to be doing all that laying hands. We just need to tell people the truth. Come on. And get people to repent. Get people to see. To see how the enemies got us acting. Come on, somebody. So that we could do something different and have something different. How many want to have something different this year? How many want to be bigger this year? Oh, glory to God. It's time out for sending people out of here like they on drugs, where they addicted, where they gotta keep coming back to get a fix. No, you're gonna get fixed and you gonna come back, but not to keep getting fixed. Come on. You're gonna come back because guess what? You done left it at the altar. Because everyone that said, Lord, I repent, you left that trash at the altar. Come on, roach, you won't be chasing me around the house no more. Come on, spider, you won't have me hollering no more. Come on, lizard, I'm still getting in this car. You may crawl around, you better not come near me, but I'm gonna get in this car. And I'm driving to work, I'm gonna be on time in Jesus' name. Oh, my fault. I'm done. All right, God bless y'all.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Our Sunday morning service starts at 11 a.m. Tuesday night Bible study starts at 7:30 until 8:30. For more information about our services, the telephone number is 321-358-7455. You have been listening to Kingdom Sounds of Victory International Praise. Our email address is vipministries@att.net. Once again, our church address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. God bless you. We hope you have a wonderful week.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. According to a CDC report released in December, the life expectancy of Americans fell by about 7 months during 2021, reaching the lowest point in two decades. Although researchers expected a major drop in the wake of COVID-19, many industrialized nations have seen signs of recovery. However, the U.S., despite spending more on healthcare than any other nation, continues its trend in the wrong direction. More importantly, while COVID-19 remains a leading cause of death in the U.S., deaths from cancer, diabetes, kidney disease, and drug overdoses increased over the last year. In fact, even if the COVID death numbers are to be believed, this downward trend in the life expectancy of Americans predates the pandemic. Back in 2019, a report published in the Journal of the American Medical Association detailed trends in U.S. life expectancy over the previous 60 years. The general trend, Joe Achenbach summarized at the time in the Washington Post, was that life expectancy improved a great deal for several decades, particularly in the 1970s, and then slowed down, leveled off, and finally reversed course after 2014, decreasing 3 years in a row. To put that in context, the last time that life expectancy had decreased 3 straight years in the United States was during World War I and the Spanish flu. And the spiral has continued since, as has the contributing factor of what are often called deaths of despair. In 2021, there were over 100,000 deaths from drug overdoses. That's an increase of 15% from the previous year. Deaths from suicide and liver disease also increased, the latter a symptom of the same kind of self-destructive behaviors increasingly taking the lives of young Americans. Ellen Mira, health policy professor at Dartmouth, told the Washington Post this, quote, "There's something more fundamental about how people are feeling at some level. People are feeling worse about themselves and their futures, and that's leading them to do things that are self-destructive," end quote. So in other words, despite our incredible, ever-advancing potential to deliver life-saving medicine to those who need it, Americans are increasingly lonely, purposeless, and prone to reckless behavior. The connection between mental and physical health is well documented, and Christians of all people should know the complex and inextricable links between body and spirit, individual and community. And in this cultural moment, it should also be